The year is 2030. The world has changed. The past decade has been marked by extraordinary progress, innovation and change. Politics, business, jobs and society are barely recognizable. In many ways, the world is a better place. In lots of others, it isn't. Retail and shopping has undergone a revolution. You may not foresee this in the year you are listening. In these audio recordings that we have delivered to the British Retail Consortium, we will report back from the year 2030 to help warn, inform and light the way to the future. Good luck on the journey you have ahead. See you soon.
Hi there, my name is Martin Newman. I'm the Customer Experience Champion and I'm also the founder of the Customer First Group. It's 2030, April.
Customers have always had power. They've been at the heart of the journey we have been on to 2030. Martin, explain.
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a customer. There are segments of customers. In marketing parlance, we sometimes refer to them as cohorts. So these are groups of consumers who display similar behavior, possibly in terms of where they come from, their demographics, you know, what they buy, what they like, and what they don't like. I think the interesting thing now in 2030 is that we've seen the growth of Generation A, Generation Alpha, people born after 2010. And I think never before, it's fair to say, never before has such a segment, you know, whether we're talking about millennials or Gen Y or Gen Z, had so much influence. Because we're talking about, you know, consumers now who grew up with iPads in their hands, you know, grew up with smartphones, didn't know anything other than the type of technology that they just took for granted. And obviously now that we've moved into the world of voice, have seamlessly migrated into that new world. And I think that technology is ultimately going to empower that segment and customers generally, as it does now, with more power than any other consumer group has ever had in the past.
And shopping has evolved in ways they could not have imagined.
Guess what? We still have stores. Can you believe it? Contrary to popular belief back in 2020, when we heard was talk about brick and mortar dying, the death of the high street. What a load of nonsense. Here we are in 2030, and still today, in this day and age, the majority of sales are taking place in a physical environment. Our interaction with retailers and buying products generally, as well as all other behaviour, has changed fundamentally in the last 11 years, because we do everything by voice now. Who would have imagined, if we were having this conversation in 2019, that we wouldn't be using smartphones, that smartphones would be a thing of the past. No pinching, no scrolling, no swiping. It's all gone. We're doing everything by voice. We're getting into our cars and we're telling them where we want to go. We're telling them what radio station or what music we want to listen to, what we want to listen to on Spotify. Yep, they're still around. We're doing everything by voice. And of course, that means that we're also buying stuff and just giving instructions to our smart speakers, such as you, Alice, and telling them what we want ordered. But then we've also got our Internet of Things, so our fridges, our freezers, we don't even have to think about it. They're just pre-ordering everything for us, making sure whenever we're getting low on stock, my favourite frozen Mars bar ice cream, that an order, a replenishment order has already been placed. But also our electrical and domestic appliances are also communicating with us in a proactive way. They're telling us when they need a service or when they need a new part. No longer do we have to worry about these things breaking down every 5 minutes and having to phone the brand and ask them to replace it. They're doing the work for us. Smartphones are absolutely a thing of the past, and the technology used to communicate with others is the same technology that we're now using to order stuff, such as you, again, Alice, the smart speaker. But I think now it's a combination of glasses, headsets, and of course that rather unsightly chip in your arm, which we now use to communicate with. Who'd have believed it just 11 years ago that we wouldn't be using that device in our hands that we spent so much time on to communicate with people. And of course, when you walk into your retail, your favorite retail stores with your interactive glasses on now and all the rich data and rich information that retailers are providing through augmented reality, so that you can either choose to engage with somebody in the store, a colleague in the store, or not, as the case may be, because you've got all the information being beamed straight to you. That's how things are changed.
The journey has seen a reshaping of how business is done. There have been lessons, haven't there, Martin?
The biggest lessons of the last 10 years are, I think, the first one, that consumers really care about the planet in which we live. They really care about sustainability. And unfortunately, too many brands didn't recognize that, and they've gone to the wall. So we've seen a lot of businesses go bust in the last 10, 11 years because they paid lip service. They thought that social responsibility was a corporate initiative. And you can always tell, can't you, businesses that start anything with the word corporate, the emphasis is on the corporate. So corporate social responsibility, which proved to be the death nail of some of those businesses in the last 10 years, because they didn't realize that sustainability was something that consumers really, really cared about. But also that it's incredibly commercially valuable to be a sustainable business. So I think that's the biggest miss. The next thing I would say is employees. And we've talked a lot in the last 20 years about being customer-centric. And arguably, to be a truly customer-centric business, the first thing you have to do is be employee-centric. If you don't put your employees and your people at the heart of everything you do, you can't expect them to want to put customers at the heart of everything that they do on your behalf. And I think that we've really failed to recognize the requirements 10 years ago of millennials, and arguably to some extent possibly still doing that today when it comes to Generation Alpha, and not recognizing that these people want to work with us. They give us the next 10 years of their career. If only we could demonstrate to them that there was a succession plan in the business, that we'd train them, we'd educate them, and we think about how to help them get better at what they do, learn more things, I'm sure they would want to stay in our businesses for longer. And I suppose the third thing I would mention would be about personalization, because I'm now 64 years of age, believe it or not, and we have been talking about personalization for as long as I can remember. It must be 25 years at least. It's finally come of age to the point where retailers are able to deliver the type of engagement that consumers have been yearning for so long. You know, relevant content, relevant products, relevant service, customized products. You know, that's been a big move in the last 10 years, you know, going away from just generic items in a fashion outlet, or jewellery, or electricals, to being able to really customise all of those components, all of those elements for our own desires. And then the final thing would be that retailers, they took a long time to get there, but they finally woke up and they started taking a view of customer lifetime value and recognising that a customer isn't just for Christmas, but they're for life.
Each year has held surprises. Martin, help them navigate the years ahead.
Well, I think one of the biggest surprises has to be that e-commerce never got past 50% of sales across all of retail. Who'd have believed it? I remember 11 years ago, everyone saying, death of the high street, e-commerce is essentially going to be 80, 90% of all retail sales. Why would anybody bother going to a store? But I remember saying even back in 2019, all those years ago, that even at that time, only 20% of retail was online and that 80% of it was in a physical store. And I think the thing that we didn't recognize, we didn't realize, was that we were going to see the rebirth of independent retail. So where the national retailers did fall out of some of our high streets because they had too many stores, because they saw 25 to 30% of their sales going online, those spaces were filled by artisanal, independent retailers, you know, delivering great service, personalization, fantastic products, and a great customer experience. And that changed everything. So consumers now, let's be honest, I mean, you know, 60% of us, well, we still shop in a store. And 40% of us prefer the convenience of buying online. And then, of course, there's a whole bunch of us that are multi-channel customers. So I think that was quite surprising.
We've taken on the biggest questions about technology's place in the world, along with the opportunities, challenges, hopes and anxieties that come with it. Things have changed. Tell them.
I think the thing that we tend to do with technology is we tend to overestimate the impact of technology in the short term, but we underestimate its impact in the long term. And I think the fact that we live in this voice-led world now is a great example. Because I remember going back to 2015, 2016, every conference you went to, every article that you could just about read about when it came to e-commerce or changes in technology talked about voice, as if voice were the thing then. You know, it's taken quite a long time, hasn't it, for voice to become that learned behavior, and it needed the technology to catch up. So the smart speakers back in, you know, like you, Alice, an early descendant of yourself way back in 2016, 2017, when smart speakers first came out, you know, they started that journey. But, you know, think about the experience that you're now able to provide with, for me and my family, compared to what Alexa was able to do all those years ago. It's completely changed everything. And so I think that that's the fundamental driver. And I think that voice has driven a level of convenience that we've never known before as consumers. And now we're capable of multitasking to a level that we could never do before, because we can do five things at the one time. Yes, even men, we can do five things at the one time, believe it or not, because we've got voice, and we can simply give voice instructions to, you know, whatever we want, whether it's ordering something, a taxi, whether it's buying a meal for tomorrow night, or the ingredients for that meal, whether it's booking a holiday. You know, we don't need to be detracted from what we're actually doing at that moment in time. So we're able to combine those activities. And as I mentioned earlier, the Internet of Things has definitely had a huge impact. So again, not really even having to worry about what we need to order, our fridge, our freezer, our cupboards, everything. They're pre-ordering everything for us. So we're just having to pick up the odd, you know, incremental item that we might think we might want for that particular week. But pretty much all of our shopping's already been taken care of.
Make them understand the adjustments that need to be made to remain on course.
Retailers in 2019, oh, how I wish they had listened to their staff and tapped into the richest research and resource and analysis available to them. You know, the people on the shop floor, the people in the contact center, you know, all those colleagues who touch consumers. The best retailers that I remember going back to the early noughties, right the way up to probably 2020, were those who walked the floor. That stopped so long ago. Nobody does that anymore. You know, the Andy Bonds when he was at Asda, the Sir Terry Leahy's when he was at Tesco. The best insight they could ever get is walking the floor. Not only talking to customers, but talking to colleagues. They're the people that have all the insight about what customers like, what they don't like, what they find frustrating when buying, you know, from that business. And I just don't think we did enough of that. I think we should have treated our colleagues, our employees, as we treated our customers. You know, I think we missed a trick by not having an employee-first culture in our organizations, by not really understanding what it was they were looking for from us as employers. When I think about the recruitment costs and all the wasted time and effort and the churn when people, you know, left their jobs after 6 months or after a year, because we didn't really cater for their requirements or understand what they were looking for in their career with our business, or even worse, not listen to them when they had all this great insight that they wanted to impart. Kind of aligned to that, I also think social responsibility was a big, big driver, as I mentioned earlier, Alice. You know, social responsibility has driven a lot of retailers, sadly, out of business because they didn't appreciate that their up-and-coming consumers really cared about that stuff. I don't know if you remember all those years ago in 2019 when that young Swedish schoolgirl called Grace started the whole climate change movement with kids striking off school. Not long after that, we had the climate change movement basically bringing London to a halt, you know, camping out in Oxford Circus for weeks on end. Can you remember that? Crazy days. But they all had a purpose. And that purpose was to save the planet for not only themselves, but for their children and their children's children. And I think that really caught out a lot of brands and a lot of retailers by surprise. I would have talked to retailers in 2019 and said, get on to personalization. If you want to stop people from buying from a competitor, or you want to stop somebody buying from a marketplace instead of from you directly, then offer them a personalized experience. Think about how they want to be communicated. Ask them how they want to be communicated with. Get under the skin of what it means to deliver the right type of experience for different types of customers. So why wouldn't you, if you were a retailer with that type of ratio, a relatively small percentage of consumers making up the bulk of your sales, why wouldn't you really want to know what made them tick? What were the differences? What sort of segments of customers made up that 23%? And what could you do to make sure you kept them loyal, built their lifetime value, and also when you went to look for new customers, that you were able to find lookalikes and similar customers to those? And I think that's about understanding the experience. Then it's understanding what sort of structure, people, processes, communication and technology you need to deliver it. But more than anything, what sort of culture do you need as a business to be a truly customer-centric organization? And the ones that we see thriving today are the ones that really understood that back in 2019.
Some say things were better back then. Simpler, more human. What do you say?
I prefer retail in 2030 because I just love the fact that our high streets are full. We have almost no empty spaces whatsoever. We proved that the death of the high street was essentially a fallacy. And I love the way that we've got a better mix of proposition on the high street. We've still got some charity shops. We've still got some bookmakers. We've still got some coffee shops. And we've still, thankfully, got some national retailers on a lot of our high streets. But we've got a great mix of independent retailers. And I think that's the thing that's fundamentally changed everything for me now. And it's made it much more experiential. It's made it much more experiential for consumers to want to visit the high street and spend more time there because there's just so much more to see and do. And it's a much better quality of experience.
Your time speaking to history is nearly up. Give your final message.
My final message to retailers in 2019 is you cannot only focus on the short term, on the here and now. I fully appreciate that we all live in under the realms of having to deliver a return to shareholders. But we have to talk to our shareholders and we have to make them understand that if we are not also focusing on the medium to the long term, we might not be here in 12 months' time.
Everything, everyone, everywhere ends. Martin, your time is up. More files will be delivered soon. Power shutting down.